Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we're beginning a new sermon series that'll take us through to the end of the church year, so the end of November. We're going to be looking at the Gospel of Matthew and these sayings of Jesus. So we've titled this sermon series, Jesus Said It and We Believe It. Today the saying that we have from Christ from Matthew chapter 22 is this: Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And that one simple statement has opened up a whole bag full of other questions. Namely, what are those things that are Caesar's or the government's, and what are those things that are God's? And what happens in those moments when Caesar is demanding something that is God's himself? So, it all began with a really simple, although not very innocent question. So, if you're looking in your bulletins, the gospel reading at the beginning begins like this. Then the Pharisees went and they plotted how to entangle Jesus in his words, and they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, saying, Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God truthfully, and you don't care about anyone's opinion, for you're not swayed by appearances. Hopefully caught what was going on there. They're really buttering up Jesus pretty good. And after doing all of that, then they bring the trap, the question on him. They say, tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? So a little bit of background is important here as you consider what is going on. Because again, this is not simply an innocent question tossed out to Jesus because these two groups of people are curious about what his answer really is. First, the fact that you've got these two groups, the Pharisees and the Herodians, coming together on something, working together on something, would have been eyebrow-raising in the first century. Be a little bit, imagine today, Republicans and the Democrats coming together and working towards a common goal. chuckling. What would it take for that to happen, do you think? Probably a miracle, thanks. Yeah. A miracle or a common enemy. Someone or something that was such a threat to both groups that they were willing at least for a moment to lay aside their differences until this issue was taken care of. And that's exactly the case that you've got going on with the Pharisees and the Herodians. And it's epitomized in this question because both of these groups, is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Both of these groups have very different answers. Or in their minds, they're imagining the right answer is very different in both of these cases. And so they come together and they ask Jesus this question. Now the Pharisees, when it came to that question, is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? The Pharisees were on this side of the equation. They believed the answer should be no. In this, they were aligned with much of Israel. For them, the whole idea that they would pay taxes, they would fund the very people who were oppressing them was abhorrent. And beyond that, the coin that they had to use to pay that tax, it was a coin that had Caesar's image stamped on one end, and on the other side, an inscription which proclaimed his divinity. For faithful Jews, those coins themselves were the height of blasphemy. So you've got the Pharisees on that end. And then you've got the Herodians on the other. The Herodians were the political leaders in Jesus' day in Israel. They owed their power and their standing to the Romans. So they were perfectly content and fine with the imperial tax. In fact, as long as it was paid on time and as long as there weren't revolts in Israel, they would be able to maintain their status and their power and their privilege. And then you've got the time that this question is asked. This question was asked on Monday of Holy Week. The day before, Jesus had marched into Jerusalem to shouts of Hosanna, to the waving of palm branches, to shouts, Save us, Son of David. In that moment, both groups, the Pharisees and the Herodians, saw Jesus as a threat to their power, whether it would be religious or whether it be civil. And so they couldn't have picked a better question to ask Jesus to erode his base. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? You talk about being stuck in a rock and a hard place. They thought they had Jesus dead to rights on this one, because no matter how he answered, he was going to be in trouble. And no matter how he answered, he would likely no longer be a problem for either group. See, if he sided with the Pharisees and the common people of Israel and said, yes, it's unlawful to pay taxes to Caesar, if he sided there, then he'd run afoul of not just the Herodians, but more importantly, the Romans, and they would likely remove him for starting a rebellion. If, on the other hand, he sided with the Herodians, then he'd lose all standing with the common people in Israel, and he wouldn't be a problem for the Pharisees or the Herodians at that point either. But Jesus, true to form, doesn't give a simple answer, because he recognizes exactly what they're trying to do. And he masterfully turns the question back on them, because he asks for a coin, one of the coins used to pay that tax. And they produce a denarius. And he says to them, well, whose inscription and image are on this coin? Caesar's, they reply. So he says, then give to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. It left everyone there questioning, and it should leave us questioning today, well, what are those things that bear the image of God? And with that silent, unasked question, whether you were a first century Jew or you're someone sitting here this morning or sitting at home and listening, hopefully your mind is drawn back all the way to the beginning in Genesis. When we ponder, what are those things in this world that bear the image of God? We're reminded of what Moses wrote there in the opening chapters of Genesis, that God created mankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. The principle that Jesus laid out is this: just as the coin is Caesar's because it bears his image and inscription, you and I are God's because we bear his image and his inscription. Now, money and politics, they have a way of making us forget in whose image we were made, whose image is stamped on us at our baptism. But don't let them do that. I saw this meme that started floating around, I think it was about a week or a week and a half ago. It went something like this: in the next few days, few weeks leading up to the election, don't let the elephants and the donkeys make you forget you belong to the Lamb. Hopefully some of you have seen that as well. That's a pretty great statement. As the election unfolds in the next few weeks, anytime another partisan election rolls around and emotions begin running high, don't let the partisan battles, the Republicans and the Democrats, make you forget that you are Christ's. The Apostle Paul put it this way: you are not your own. You were bought with a price. You were created in the image of God. And God himself shed his blood to stamp his image and his inscription on you. Because when you were baptized, written on your heart that you were baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, that is something that we can never forget, and it's something that can never be taken away. Now, the fact that you bear the image of God means that you should wrestle with your economic and political decisions. You should wrestle with that every time you go to the ballot box and you cast your vote. But take care lest you confuse the kingdoms of this world with the kingdom of God. So if you're looking for a savior from the Democrats or from the Republicans, or pick your independent party of choice, if you're looking for a savior in any of those directions, you're looking in the wrong place. Because regardless of who wins in 3 weeks, Jesus is still king. The kingdoms of this world will all one day pass away, but the kingdom of God will remain forever. At the end of the day, when Jesus was faced with this question, is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? He wasn't all that concerned about the tax. He wasn't very interested in siding with either the Pharisees or the Herodians. His real concern is that the people who were hearing him that day, and you and I, that we would live into the image of God who lovingly created you and died for you. And it's my prayer that as you hear these words again, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's, you would be reminded that just as that coin was Caesar's because it bore his image, you are God's because in baptism you bear his image. In Jesus' name, amen.